Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound. And anyway, in the studio with me today, if you haven't recognized the
goofy laugh. Thorn in the side.
I wasn't going to say any of that. My goodness. CJ's in the house. All good right. to have you there.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. We have a topic today. Some of you can probably relate with, but then some of you are in denial. And it has to do with trust. How do you actually regain trust in a relationship? What's the best way of being able to do this? Does it apply to you? Is it the other person's job rather than your job to regain trust? There's a few things we need to talk about there, and we'll just hammer away at that sort of thing. But in the meantime, CJ, we always like to kind of kick things off with a little bit of encouragement for these guys who are listening. And we know that you're going to laugh today. We just know that automatically because when CJ walks in
here, CJ's in here.
You know, he's going to say something that is going to make you
laugh. We're
not
laughing with him. We're laughing at him. It's one or the other. Either way, we're laughing, though.
I wasn't going to say that either, you know, but now that you brought that up.
I'm going to laugh at you.
Anyway.
All right, anyway, so this past week at the rest home where we go to, what are you laughing about now?
These guys, a lot of these guys are listening for the first time. You make it sound like they know you, the rest home that we go to. Like, what does that mean?
The
Oasis Hour.
The Oasis. Sorry, my mind's focused on what I'm getting ready to talk. Anyways, the Oasis Hour. It's a ministry that through Band of Brothers that we do at a rest home. A couple of us go there. We talk to them, give a sermon or whatever it is, and do some singing. And there it is.
Sounds like I want to go do that. Well, a couple of us go and we do this and that. We bring the light of Jesus and the hope of a relationship with Christ to those who are unable to get out.
Read or hear it themselves.
Right. And you're able to, and you come and do that. So there's a lot more to it than just, as you made it sound like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
People's lives change and their lives are, sometimes their days are very numbered. Their hours
are
very numbered.
They are.
And
they are.
So that's it's a huge,
it's an encouragement
ministry.
To everyone there.
Yes.
So there, I know my family likes going there and they all love.
They love looking at the boys, your kids. Yeah.
But anyways, while we were there, it got brought up somehow circumstances or situations, whatever. And one of the ladies there said that throughout her life, she always went with, through trials or whatever it was that, she always had the saying, which is this too shall pass.
Ooh.
And so I was thinking on that. I was like, I wonder where that is in the Bible. Well, there isn't – that phrase isn't exactly in the Bible, but I got one that's pretty close. It's 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And what that is we need to realize and understand that all the trials that the Lord allows us to go through, that it is temporary, and that when we keep our eyes focused on eternity, our eyeballs truly focused on the Lord, that this will be as if a breath, you know, breath in and out when we're in heaven in eternity 10 billion years from now. So we always like to get stuck in the fact that we have the pity party on ourselves when times are tough and rough and but it is temporary. So encouragement is temporary, and we need to just ask the Lord to give us the grace to keep our eyes on eternity and know that everything is temporary and it will pass as well.
Right.
So,
and you use a language that every the guys today can understand when you say that your eyeballs on the Lord. We truly know that He's not talking about a physical seeing the Lord, because mm-hmm. none of us can, none of us do. Everything it's in the unseen. So He's actually talking about His heart.
Amen.
You know, just deep in His heart that He's actually focusing on God. And that truly is where we all need to be.
It is.
And the more that we do it, the more that we practice doing that, the more often that it'll become a habit and we start doing it in every situation.
Amen.
Throughout the day. And that's really what...
Well, it helps to walk. It's like I don't know if anyone remembers when they first started driving, but usually when you first start driving, you're mm-hmm. looking like directly down at the hood on the road, mm-hmm. and you're all over the place because you're not looking in the distance. You're just focused on right then and there, where if you just gaze off in the distance, you have a really nice, steady drive. It's like mowing the lawn. If you just look straight down, it's going to be it. So you just
they just haven't been to Raul's school of driving. and there's a lot of those who have not been to my
or
school
mine.
Of driving.
I would love to teach that too.
Yes. You know, I thought it blew me away. I remember when I was taking driving class.
Driver's ed.
No, it was not. This is back in the day. They didn't have that in school.
Oh.
It was a separate thing. You had to
go
pay for it and all of that. But this guy, we had Mustangs that we were driving. It was very, very nice back in the late 60s. Anyway, so this guy gave me this. He said, hey, here's what you look at. You look as far as you can see down the lane, and that's what you point at. That's where you drive at.
Mm-hmm.
If you do anything closer, you're going to lose control.
Yeah.
And and I'll never forget that. And I said, and so I tried that. And it worked. And I go, wow.
You don't think everything in you wants to resist.
Because you think you want to look here. But he says, no, you look further. Look, even on the turns, he says, you look at the furthest point you can see. And you just point toward that. And you will be
it
okay.
Does. And, it does. And the same thing is with the walk. If we just focus on what's going on right now, we're going to be all jogged and rocked.
Well, we have plenty of things that always try to deter us and get our attention
mind
to something
Christ.
Else that the Lord wants us on. It says, in seeking Him and what
Amen.
It is that He has. So
good
Amen. Encouragement.
All right.
All right. Eyeballs. Eyeballs on the Lord.
Eyeballs on the Lord. Amen.
Right. So we have a topic today. We'll get a segue right into this thing on trust.
Yep.
And you had purpose and a reason that you wanted to bring this up. And so I'll let you kind of kick this in.
All right. Here. Well, the purpose or the reason I should say is what it is being able to regain the trust of someone, either one that you have wronged or hurt, or you have done something to give them the reason to not trust you anymore. Now, this can apply across the board to every relationship that you're in, but primarily I was thinking more along the lines of when husbands do something stupid and their wives can't trust them anymore, how to be able to build that trust back up, to establish a trusting relationship again, and be able to, in a sense, win her heart back again, to be able to fully and confidently trust you. And it's not a quick fix. So unfortunately, a lot of us just want a quick fix. I screwed up here. I'm better. I'll fix it now. Trust me again. And that it takes years and years and years sometimes to fix the things that we did. So it's not a quick fix. It's a long haul. And I think that's where our perseverance in the Lord will really show through, is when we know that and we don't get impatient with them for not trusting us, because we deserve for them not to trust us if we've done something stupid, right? So I think that's where persevering and patience comes in handy, that knowing that regaining the trust of our wife, or if you're engaged or whatever it is going to be a hard road sometimes. Hard road. It's not easy. It's a hard road.
So when there's mistrust, we deserve death. It's really what it comes down to. You deserve death. And that, and it comes down to this, is that there's truth in that, because we have to die to self.
Amen. Amen.
So, I mean,
you're right. There is
up,
some truth
there,
in that.
You know, you mess up, you deserve death. And really what it comes down to, again, I say it, is that we have to die to self. You know, it's something about how what takes place with in relationships, how people can actually, you go through a process, and then all of a sudden there's something that takes place that they don't see it the way that you see it, or they're not going to, you know, we all assume that the person that we're with, we'll use a close friend or a wife, or no matter who it is, someone who knows you a little bit, and they are, you can sense that they're not going to do exactly what you want them to do. They're going to do it themselves, or they're going to do something else, or you know, you're all going to the park, okay?
Yeah.
If there's a playground set with swings and everything, over here you got climbing stuff, and then over here is a lake or a pond and something with ducks and rowboats and stuff, and you have four people, right? Everyone's going to probably go somewhere different.
I want this, I want that,
you know.
We're all individual. We have different interests.
And so that kind of, you get disappointed. You sit there, wait a minute.
Yeah. You know? What about me? Let's do what I want to. Yeah. So, well, what it comes down to, I think, is selfishness, once again, is when we screw up. We want everything just to be back to the way it was because we don't want that. We just kind of want to put what we did to a side and kind of put it down and not make it as such a big deal as it is. When in reality, if we take the time to look from the other person's perspective of what has taken place and we realize that it is a big deal that what we have done, and it could be something, it may not be, I know myself, I wasn't married with my wife at the time, but I was,
I like how you said I was married with my wife at the time. Yeah.
I wasn't married to my now wife at the time. Is that better? I wasn't married to my now wife at the time. And I was sleeping around. I was doing all that. And it caused, and it still causes some stuff. And it's a continual work even in my relationship. But it doesn't even have to be as drastic as that. It could be as simple as just having a phone conversation with a woman at work or something like that that can cause mistrust. And we, I think, like to play that down as if it's not a big deal because we're not really concerned about how the other person's feeling.
And what it comes down to really is that there's a betrayal that takes place.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is. There is.
You have betrayed someone else's
trust
and confidence in you. And when there's a betrayal like that, well, we've all been on both sides of that coin. We've all been betrayed, and we've all betrayed others.
And you know, I think what it is though is when we have been betrayed, we will always remember that. But when we betray others, we don't ever remember that. It seems like I know.
No, but those we betrayed sure do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Those who have betrayed us. Is that what we just? Yeah, those who have betrayed us. It's like that unforgiveness where we're sitting there, we can't get over it, we're struggling with it. But when we do it, well, it's not that big of a deal. Just trust me. Here is, you know, it's action speak much louder than words. If you just always say something, oh, just trust me, I won't do it again. Well, we need to start acting differently in order for someone to be able to see it. You can speak all day long if you want, but it's not going to do near the work in someone else's heart as if you actually put it into action.
Usually people who are listening or starting to listen to you, you're speaking all day long, are going to fall asleep about a quarter of the way into it if you're speaking all day.
You mean...
That's right. So talk is cheap. The actions,
the
walk in it is what's more important. To be able to show it, to be able to do it. You were right on track there. And I was making a pun about how you said that about all day long. You're speaking to them all day long. That's not going to work.
No.
You ever tried talking to your sons under a tree?
Even for 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's not going to work. It's not going to work with adults either, you know.
No, it's
They'll be kind and say, oh, I'm sorry, I've got to go. You know, I've got...
something to do.
Something else.
Not with you.
Yeah.
I got something going that doesn't involve you, so
yes,
I got to
exactly.
go.
So I've got to go. So when there's a betrayal, okay, when we've actually betrayed another's trust, okay, like you said, we look and go, okay, come on, can you just get over it? Yeah, you know.
We just want to move on real quick.
Yeah. Yep. And why is that? Why do we want to move on so quickly?
I don't think we want to look at the iniquity in our life and focus on
the shortcomings. Yeah. The last thing I want to do is be able to look at my weaknesses.
Myself.
Yeah. And I don't want you looking with me.
I'll look at yours, though, because you hurt me pretty bad, so I'm going to make sure you fix what you need
to fix.
But
it's always easier to look at others.
It
to
is.
To find other it shortcomings is. And see their flaws and their, you know, the things that don't seem right.
Well, okay? it's humbling to be able to sit there and say, I am not very good at this. I did wrong. I am sorry. And it. I've got to do better. It's not like I will try. I always tell my boys if they sit there, they're like, okay, I'm going to try. No, if you try, you're giving yourself almost an excuse to not do it. So you just, if you're going to do something, you do it with everything that you have. So if you tell your wife that I'm going to start changing, I'm going to start doing things different, actually do it. Get into, I was talking to my wife about this morning before, about this. And because I was asking her, I was like, what was it that I did that that helped you to trust me more? And even now, it's still a work in progress. There's not, if you even ask her, there's not a 100%. Like if I'm, let me give an example. So about a month ago, we were at the church. It was at the other church. I was outside with Mike and I can't remember the other gentleman's name, but we were talking. It was like an hour and a half conversation outside, and I didn't even register to call my wife and let her know what I was, because I was so involved in the conversation. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear the phone call or whatever, and then all of a sudden it just hit me. I was like, oh my, I got to get home. And I was in a lot of anguish on the way home because I knew what my wife was going through at that time, because that's what I used to do all the time. I used to be gone all the time. I used to be sleeping around. And so when I got home, she was in, it was a really, really, really bad night. So, because I knew what I had put her through, what I used to put her through, and I knew that it was rehashing a lot of that. And it's just, and it's going to take years to be able to get that back, what I did. So I had to be, I was pleading for forgiveness on that situation.
So let me ask you now.
Yeah.
Today, when you start a conversation with somebody out in front of a church or anywhere else, and you know you got to be someplace, do you think about that?
Yeah.
Okay. You've learned your lesson. We'll be right back. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Every life is unique. Every life has a purpose. So when it comes time to remember the life of a loved one who has passed on, Cascade Monuments can help memorialize that special loved one through a personally designed monument. Cascade Monuments can engrave stones with the image of a person's face, majestic mountain scenes, sailboats, and more. Some monuments even contain built-in solar-powered video screens, and at the push of a button, a video montage will reveal the loved one's life. Learn more by visiting CascadeMonuments.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. CJ and Raul in the studio talking about trust. And, you know, when there's a betrayal of trust in a relationship and, what that looks like. And so often that happens. And a lot of times, I mean, depending on who it is that you afflicted the mistrust.
I think that's a good word.
And what actually ends up taking place is that there's a impasse, there's a chasm, a space is created between you and them, whereas all of a sudden they don't even want to be near you. It's like, and they back away almost sometimes in a physical sense.
Well, they've kind of put their walls up because they don't want to get hurt again. They don't want to have to go through the pain and the suffering, affliction, as you said, that you caused them.
So two things. One is that what causes someone to betray another? What do you think the root cause? There's so many things, but there is a root cause to it, I believe.
Selfishness.
There you go.
Yeah. That's what it was with my case. I just cared about myself, what I wanted to do. I didn't really care about the feelings of others, other people, and even my now wife at the time. Right. I didn't care about her feelings in a sense.
Well,
I just wanted to.
Yeah, but in a sense, you did. You loved this girl. Yeah. You loved her. You cared about her. You wanted her to be happy and everything, mm-hmm. but you wanted yours more than you wanted hers.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. I wanted me more than – I wanted my happiness more than anyone else's.
Yeah.
If you look at David, what happened, same thing with him. And what happens is it leads into sin and more sin because you're trying to cover up your sin and you just keep going. So
and you're talking about the story with Bathsheba and where he's all of a sudden that, you know, he desired this mm-hmm. woman – okay, more. Mm-hmm. And then when he found out that she's married, well, how do I take care of this? Then the manipulation and the control and everything else. Yeah.
Then she became pregnant. And then to cover that sin up,
he
tried to have the husband come and sleep with his wife. So it didn't look. And then when that didn't work, now I got to do something else. Now I got to kill him because I can't have anyone find out about
I can't
sin.
Kill him. I've got to see that it's like an accident in war. So, you know, there's so many things. And this is what happens. This is where sin takes us.
It is.
And, you know, here's, you know, David, who is a man after God's own heart, in a sense. And all of a sudden, in the midst of sin, of actually, I mean, where most people sit there and go, oh, wow, you're that kind of person, you know? All of a sudden, it's like, really? You know?
Well, anyone, it doesn't matter what kind of righteous life you're walking. If you even get close to that sin and you taste a little bit of that sin, it's going to get worse. It's going to engulf your entire life eventually if you even start to flirt around it. It's just you can't play with the fire and not get burned. Your whole body will get burned with it.
So selfishness, self-centeredness, that becomes the total root of everything right there. And so what has to take place is that for us to keep from doing that sort of thing, of betraying another, is really, I mean...
love.
Yeah.
We have to love others more than ourselves. We have to be a servant to others. I pray all the time that God gives me a heart to love and adore my wife every day, that I cherish her, that I actually have that adoration for her that I do. And it's because selfishness is always trying to creep back up. I always got to, by the grace of God, subdue it because self is all – that's the battle with life is that our selfishness is always going to keep trying to come up so that we can do what we want to do and not do what the Lord wants us to do or be a servant to others or whatever it is in our life.
Right.
So
so the key is that we have good intent – of not doing that sort of thing, but even with good intentions on our part of not being selfish and thinking of others more highly than myself, sometimes we still
fall short,
don't we?
We do fail.
So the best thing to do when that situation comes up is this is where communication, I think, is so important with the individual that you're in a relationship with. Whether it's a friendship, whether it's
a
marriage.
Close friend. Yeah, it doesn't
I mean, people who you influence, people who look to you to support, be supported by, or to be able to be there for them and in certain situations. And when that is betrayed, there's something that is taken from them. And sometimes even indication that there could be a...
what do you mean indication?
In other words, if they notice that all of a sudden, hey, you didn't ask about what I was doing today. You know, or you didn't, you know, what does that mean? Something else must be more important, you know. So, and especially with those who have been betrayed in the past. We've all been betrayed. You recognize some of what the steps are that take, all of a sudden it's like, huh, something's not right.
Oh, yeah, you sense it because you yourself has been, like you said earlier, no one has not been betrayed in this life.
Right.
We've all faced it.
But the key to be able to... you know, back that off or to be able to minimize that, whether you're the one who's doing it or the one who's receiving it, is to talk about it.
Amen.
If you're the one that you feel like you're going to be betrayed, you ask the simple question. This question helps out everywhere. You know what it is?
I do know what it is.
What is it?
Help me understand.
Help me understand why.
Ah.
Help me understand why.
Help me understand why.
You're doing this. Or help me understand why you would think that this is okay. Help me understand.
And I think it's, you know, with the on both ends. For one, on if you're on the receiving end of being hurt, we also have to allow them to be able to come to us and to be able to earn their trust back. Because a lot of times when we are hurt, we want to cut them off because we don't even want to risk getting hurt again or having.
Well, that's back to that forgiveness thing that we were talking about
earlier.
It is.
And it, I mean, so we, when, and you know, even with my wife now, there was a time we took a year apart, but there was a time where she didn't want to have any part of me at all. I couldn't get upset with her because I caused it, so I deserved it. So, but at the same time, the Lord worked on her, and she eventually gave me the chance to be able to have the opportunity to regain my trust. And in doing so, I actually had to walk a completely different path than what I was doing. It's like being born again. You're actually doing things completely different than what you used to be. I had to change everything I was doing. I quit going to the gym. I had to switch gyms. I had to do that. I quit hanging out with friends. I started going to get more involved in the ministry stuff, the church stuff. Everything had to change in order for her to be able to start to see my life change a little bit. Because your life, that's when they're going to notice, is when your life, everything around you starts changing. But that's not going to happen until you start walking with God and trying to actually be a good servant and not being so selfish. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where that comes from. It's not being selfish and walking with it. So.
All right. Well, let's take another break here so we can come back and continue talking about this sort of thing. When we've talked about the selfishness being the root of what this is all about, and we talk about the situation about others who betray us and how we can actually ask and to be able to bring it about so it doesn't blow into something.
Communication.
You know, right? And that's communicating.
And a lot of that is being humble. When you approach someone, you don't ever admit their faults. You always just focus on yourself, on me, what I need to fix. So
that's a good point. Yeah. And you're shooting it out too. I'm trying to segue into a commercial and you're bringing up all this stuff. But the other one is key that I want to talk about is this thing on forgiveness. How dare they come and ask for forgiveness? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
There are a lot of frustrations in any given day, and you can't do much about most of them. But one frustration you can eliminate is unreliable or sluggish internet service. StarTouch Broadband Services is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider. They would love to help you gain reliable, super quick internet service for your home or business. Get a free estimate from StarTouch and learn more about their services at startouch.com.
Well, every single day your grace reminds me that my best days are not behind me. Wherever my yesterday may find me, well, I don't have to stay there, no. See, my hourglass is upside down and my Sunday soon is here. And now the clock is ticking and I'm so sick and tired of missing out. I wish I wasn't wishing anymore. Wish I could remember that nobody's keeping score. I'm tired of throwing pennies in a well.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul, and CJ, he's in the
thorn
studio
in the
work.
Flesh.
So one of the key things is, I mentioned.
Before the break.
What was the phrase that I said? How dare they even.
Come to ask for forgiveness.
Now, when someone says something, if you happen to be privy in a conversation when you hear one person tell another person, how dare you come and even ask for forgiveness? What does that say about that individual?
I think it says that something pretty significant hurt them and that they don't want to, they're not ready for forgiveness. They have a lot of anger. They have a lot of frustration. They have a lot of resentment built up towards the individual that did the hurting towards them.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of anger has been built up and lack of forgiveness, and they don't really want to have anything to do with them.
Yeah. So really, what's an individual to do at this time when something like that takes place? What's your take on it? What do you think? What's the person who's coming to and asking for forgiveness, and they hear that response, and what do you do?
Well, the Bible says that we're supposed to do what we can to be peaceful with, to live peacefully with everyone. I think if we just come and we, as we were talking before the break, we never ever say what is wrong or what someone else did wrong. If we just focus on ourselves, so if that person just humbles themselves and they admit what they did, here's the thing is when you admit or when you come to apologize or whatever to ask for forgiveness, don't do it half-hearted and don't do it with just only some of it. Lay everything out on the table. Open up your heart on the table, because when you do that, it actually shows someone that you are sincere for when you're coming to them. And I think if you actually do that with someone and the response is, how dare you, I don't think there's much that you can do. If you have truly done your part, you've opened yourself up and laid everything out and humbled yourself, I think you are right in the eyes of God if you have done your part in that. There's nothing you can do to force someone else to forgive you and to trust in you. So,
well, that's some good stuff, mm-hmm. but I'm going to not totally agree with you.
Okay.
And the reason being is because the mm-hmm. reason that you go to them is because you feel that that's the time you need to go to them.
Yep.
And I believe that we are to be seeking God's perfect timing in everything that takes place.
Amen.
Not our timing. See, and that's part of what takes place in going and making amends. Amen. With somebody. See, we want to get it taken care of. Sometimes the amends, yes, we want it. We want to make amends so we make things right. But are we making things right because we're selfish? I want this person back in my life the way that things were. You know, so I want it as soon as possible. See, I've got to look at my motives. I got to look in the mirror.
Amen.
Not look at come to somebody and say, hey, wait a minute, the Bible says that you're supposed to forgive me when I come into you and ask for forgiveness. You know,
that's coming from a different,
No, but that's the same thing. You may not say that, but your actions are saying that.
Yep.
What do you mean I'm coming to you and asking for forgiveness?
Well, your heart has different motivations.
Absolutely. Yep. But the thing is that that's what needs to be checked here. And that's where God's perfect timing is. Because I believe God allows things to take place because we're to learn from these things, okay?
Amen.
And if we don't learn from them, that's why we have this radio show, to be able to share the things from our own experiences, mm-hmm. to be able to help other men who might be in similar situations of saying, hey, you know what? That's a good idea. Maybe I'll use that type of look, you know, looking at myself mm-hmm. rather than looking at the other person.
Amen.
Because there is sometimes a time that's necessary for an impasse where there's no communication, where it's better for people to
I think earlier, we actually took it was almost a year separated apart. We both were hurt.
Right.
We both had things that we had to work on. Here's the thing is we have to be able to forgive people even without them asking for forgiveness.
Absolutely.
And so when you get to that point, then when they do come to you, then you're able to forgive them, and the relationship can be healed much quicker.
But all of that is a process.
And it can be a long process.
It's like mm-hmm. grieving. There is no cast iron formula of saying, this is how you grieve, this is how long you're supposed to grieve.
No.
The deal is that this is between you and the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? And even in forgiving somebody. But here's the deal. If you keep seeking the Lord's going to remind us that this is what it is that you need to do. Through his word, he's going to say, we need to be loving and kind and look at everyone the way that he looks at them, okay? And to learn Amen. To love them the way that he loves them. That's everyone, not just the people that you love, even your enemies, people you don't love.
That you don't like.
That you don't want to love.
I think that's the key right there, is that you don't want to love.
And it's so important, you know, that we sit here and we just go, that's why this becomes a narrow road. Because it's easy to be able to say, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus. I love you, all my kids.
Well, it's hard.
But when it comes down to the ones when you start, you know, the rubber meets the road on certain situations like this, it's like, wait a minute, I want to go to that person and ask for forgiveness. I want to be done with this and get it behind me, mm-hmm. behind us, so we can move on. Well, wait a minute. Things have changed because now, believe it or not, it's not ever going to be the way that it was before. Mm-hmm. It has to change. It can't be the same way. You have to be a new person. You can no longer hide behind some of your motives or keep things hidden. You need to communicate more. So your life is going to be different with that individual, with that person.
I'm glad you got right into that. It's Romans 6:4. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So it goes along. I'm glad you said it goes. We have got to change something about ourselves, not the other person. Yes. We can't tell them what they need to do. We can't say, you know, it's your problem that you haven't forgiven me yet. This is it. I'm moving on.
There's something about where Jesus reminds us. God has told us that he wants us to be holy because he is holy.
Amen.
He wants us to be perfect because he is perfect. We're to emulate him. We're to strive to be like him. And in doing that, all of these things, like going and asking for forgiveness, okay,
mm-hmm.
and realizing my own fault, okay, and willing to take responsibility for it, and willing to take the consequence for it, and say this is like part of
taking
it.
The consequence.
Yes,
that's
you know, mm-hmm. I mean, accepting whatever that might be. You know, you go to a person, and God has given you a green light. Maybe you talked with another brother that, and he's prayed about it also and said, I believe this is the right time for you to go to him. And you go to them and thinking that, you know, and this is part of the deal, man. When you go and you ask for forgiveness and you make an amends, you can't put an expectation on it.
Amen.
You can't put an expectation on it. Because I've seen it myself where someone says, that's very kind of you. There's even tears and so on and so forth. But they say, I don't want a relationship with you. Yes. They just said, we need to be apart.
Mm-hmm. Well, just because one person is ready to move on, the other person may not be ready to move on.
And that's where you have to be able to accept that and to be able to go there with that. See, when we still, and for those of us who are controllers, man, that this is a tough thing for us to let go. And let God, so to speak, okay? Let go and let God, because that is what is necessary. Let's take a break, last break here, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about a few more things that there are so many avenues on this sort of thing.
There is.
Let's talk about some of the things that, especially our own motives in getting things done, because it's all about the selfishness, self-centeredness.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Bannon Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it, because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors.
When you feel like you're alone in your sadness, and it seems like no one in this whole world cares, and you want to get away from the madness, you just call my name.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, CJ and Raul, and I just wanted to, on this thing on, you know, forgiveness that we were talking about, and everyone knows, everyone says, hey, go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18 always has, you know, you go to your brother and you ask for forgiveness.
77 times.
And how many times and so on and so forth, right? But in that same area, let's read something, because
what's the address?
It would be Matthew chapter 18. Verse 23. Well, let's start in 22, where Jesus says, this is Jesus talking, okay? I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. This is about how many times I forgive my brother, right? Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Can you imagine? Okay, that's my little, Jesus didn't say that part. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now he's happy. That's my little portion right now.
Paraphrasing.
Right? But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me. I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from
Amen.
Your heart.
We will be forgiven as we forgive others.
You know, and this is such,
That's
see,
powerful.
this is mm-hmm. the Lord letting us know your motives for doing everything. The guy had intent. He said, "Please forgive me," at the very first time. And the guy said, "Okay, you know, you've won me over. Yes, I forgive you and your family, and you won't, nothing's going to, no harm to you." But then this guy, he's outside and he sees a guy who owes him some money. "Hey, man, you know what?"
Hey, you. Well, I think what it is because you're talking a little bit, and then in Romans 6, we're not walking in newness of life. If you may be able to, and you may truly come to the Lord with a repentful heart, but unless you're walking in newness of life,
yes.
you're not going to be able to do it in the rest of your life to be able to apply it in everything
yeah.
else. So we have got to change everything that we're doing. Especially with wives, if you're in sin, we've
yes.
got to be able to change. We got to turn away, repent. That means not doing it again. Stop asking for forgiveness every week because you do something stupid. Just stop doing it.
Yes.
So.
How do you stay out of trouble? Just don't get in trouble.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
So.
But the fact is that we need to be reminded, and that's where fellowship takes place. That's
Amen.
Where of other men in our lives that we can let know what's going on in our lives, and vice versa. It is fellowship that will help us remember that Jesus is the way that we need to be looking toward.
Imitating.
The eyeballs, right? To be
yep.
focused on
eyeballs
him.
Eyeballs focused.
Okay? Now, the fact is, how do we do that? Well, you just do it by starting
one day at a time.
But you actually get involved. Get involved with knowing another man, a godly man.
Well, nothing changed in my life until that really. I mean, I was reading the Bible. I was doing it, but it didn't really start kicking off until you start. You do, and I know you can disagree with this a little bit on this, but like now, I mean, I can actually have the Lord as like my. I can read the Bible and be accountable to it. I can be where before I wasn't. Even though I read it, I didn't have any accountability to it. Where as with another man, it was real life. It was, I could touch, feel, hear, like right then and there. The accountability was much more realistic because it was actually in person.
Right.
So getting that from other godly men, not just some other man who you think is older and whatever it is, wise, but actually getting with a godly man and asking him for instruction and allowing him to be able to teach you, that is when it'll start changing. And then once that happens, then you will have conviction when you read.
That's why in Hebrews he talks about don't ever stop meeting this way. When he's
Amen.
Talking about the brothers being together, that's God saying that that's what we need to be
Amen.
Doing. He
Amen.
Used Paul to be able to communicate that to us because he knows that in our own selfishness that I don't need all those people. I've got the Bible, I've got
mm-hmm.
God, and it's just the two of us. That's all I need. I'm accountable to him and nothing else. Well, guess what? You're probably doing a lot of things. That's why nobody wants to be around you anyway. including your family. That's why you're out in the garage or out in the shed or out there building whatever you're building, you know.
Amen.
And because nobody wants to be around you, so.
Amen. That's what I like how you said building whatever you're building. Yeah. So, unfortunately, it's true.
We laugh not at you, but because we laugh at our own shortcomings.
Yeah, we did a lot of stupid things.
We definitely can actually relate with it. So, brother, know this, that the Lord loves you, and he's seeking to get your attention more and more so that you would become one with him.
Amen.
So how about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
Father, I ask that you would bless the hearers out there today. Bless us, Father God, that you would allow us to be able to continue to persevere and to be patient and loving with those around us, Lord, that we would not be short with them if they haven't forgiven us or if it's taken time to do so, Father. Just give us a heart of unselfishness, Father, that we would have your heart in us, that we would care for others and serve others more than for ourselves, Father. So bless the men out there, encourage them, uplift them, direct them in their walk this day, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.